Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. It's a Friday field trip. Talking ball ahead of the Commanders and the Giants from the Meadowlands on Sunday. We're at Craft House Fairfax, Fairfax Corner. We are getting to the point of the day where you're getting off work. You want to sit on 66 or you want to sit in here with wings and beer and your pals?
Outdoor deck. Oh, it's not even a deck. What is that, patio?
Yeah, the patio is gorgeous.
Deck is wrong. Deck's like an elevated thing with like the chair legs underneath it kind of. That's wrong. It's a patio. It's a huge, beautiful space, man. I love it here.
Perfect weather. Really good food. We're excited about it. So my buddy Matt came out, and I guess he heard yesterday when I was talking about there was a person in my neighborhood that for Halloween would put candy corn in a little baggie and give it to us.
Yep.
And I thought that was the worst nubby Halloween bit that you could probably do ever. So he brought one candy corn in a little Ziploc bag for me and handed it to me. But he handed it to me in like the front of the restaurant, everyone's looking, and like someone came up and was like, "Is that a piece of candy corn?" It's just a Ziploc bag with one individual.
Because
well,
far
candy
away,
corn.
It's like, is that like your kid's tooth? Like, what's in there?
Well, or just like some type of edible or something.
Right.
I believe it's just a normal piece of candy corn.
Yeah, I paid $20 for that one.
But I'm not going to take it on a flight just in case.
Right.
I'll make sure I eat this at my house when like I'm not in charge of the kids.
Yeah, you don't
alone
have to drive.
When I've got a few hours.
That's
but I believe,
hilarious.
Just so everyone here at Fairfax's Craft House knows, that this is just one piece of candy corn, actual real candy
it's
corn.
A single candy corn.
Individually wrapped. So nobody needs to be worried about
it's
that.
A very good bit.
Johnny Newton.
Johnny.
7 pressures this past week. I don't think we talked enough about him. That would have been the story if Washington would have won without the Hail Mary, or maybe even, honestly, if they would have lost and we would have gone through the game, talked about all the things they did badly, and then gotten to where were the signs of encouragement. Newton would have been the lead, and because of the Hail Mary and the heroics and the fact that it was the craziest finish ever that dominated the headlines, it just kind of went without really much fanfare. He would have had a second sack if Caleb Williams didn't get rid of the football with his knee about a centimeter away from the turf.
That's right.
He was awesome in that game.
He was really, really good. Really impactful. And to me, there's two schools of thought, right? There's the kind of the, over the last couple of decades, the way defenses go, is there's that Greg Williams school that I always subscribe to where you don't need a ton of talent. You need people to play the defense, be super assignment sound, and you could be pretty decent. I've seen it happen, right? Then there's the every so often you get a disruptor. And you might lose on a given down, right? He might go up too far upfield and over-pursue or over-commit, and then they run that trap play or something to the counter that's right back to the hole that you just vacated. Maybe not be his assignment sound down in and down out. But you trade that for that explosive. You trade that for the negative. You trade that for the potential reward of him guessing right, Tecmo Bowl style, and totally blowing up a play. I don't know exactly what, you know, play in, play out his assignments are, but I feel like that guy can be disruptive. And you've seen it a little bit. You've got a little bit of a taste. I think there's more coming.
I do, too. I think he's just scratching the surface. I mean, he has played a bunch. If you just look at the snap counts, he gets on the field. But he has not gotten a chance to let his hair down and really just make it his own. Like, hey, I'm going to set you up on this drive because next drive I'm also on the field. And I'm going to be the guy at the position for the entire day. I don't think there's a drop-off from the way he played this past week to the best version, honestly, of like Daron Payne or John Allen. Now, I don't know if he's capable of giving you that every single week. Like, that might be his ceiling. I don't think it is because he's literally just getting started. And you know how much of a fan I was of his coming out when you watch him. There were two guys after the Commanders added them that I fell in love with the first time I watched them. Because my routine was, after they drafted or signed a guy, I would go back and just watch everything I could. And the two guys, Frankie Luvu, who I raved about, and then Newton, was the other guy where you go, I didn't want him to draft a D-tackle. I didn't even really like the pick that much. Oh, my God, watching this guy is a blast.
Yeah,
this,
hard not to fall like, in love.
This is awesome. And so I'm very hopeful. I have very, very high hopes for you know what he could become. But I guess my point is, if he plays like that, he's not worse than John Allen or Daron Payne. That's the kind of game he played this past week. The question now is going to be consistency. That's it. But he hit the quarterback 4 times. You know how many times this year Daron Payne has hit the quarterback? 3
times. Yeah, I was going to say not that many.
3 times all year. Last week, Johnny Payne, I'm sure.
That guy would be great.
Johnny Newton hit the quarterback four times. More quarterback hits of Caleb Williams in his basically breakout first time you get to do your thing performance than Payne has had all year. I'm not saying he's better. I'm not saying Daron Payne has played badly. I'm just giving you a couple of numbers. That's all.
Who would be a better player, Daron Newton or Johnny Payne? Daron Newton or Johnny Payne?
Johnny Payne kind of sounds cool.
Doesn't Johnny Payne sound like a badass?
Daron's a great name, but like
Johnny
has had a very hard life.
Johnny Payne has had a very rough life. Yeah, that guy's a badass. That guy has 17 sacks already. No, it's a good point. And so my answer to this question actually is Daron Payne. We haven't seen that Daron Payne game yet. Right? Remember, I always point to it from last year. There was a Daron Payne series against the Denver Broncos. Daron Payne on first down, Daron Payne on second down, Daron Payne on third down, punt. 10 guys could have just sat there crisscross applesauce because Daron Payne had it. You haven't seen that yet. And I don't know that you're ever going to get the down-in, down-out dominance of his contract year because we got a large enough sample that says that's more of an outlier. I thought it was a breakout. I was wrong. But still, he's very capable. And what better week than against this makeshift offensive line that's struggling? We asked Darryl Slater, who covers the New York Giants. I said, how's this offensive line? Give me a state of the union right now. And he said, and I quote, bad. He elaborated from there. Here's your chance, man. They're going to be worried about Luvu blitzing. They're going to be worried about Newton after what you saw this past week. This could be a great time for Daron Payne just to dump truck somebody, throw him into the backfield, hit the quarterback a few times, and be disruptive. Maybe they're not doing it week in and week out, but what a week to do it, man. Get your numbers.
Yeah, they've had two interior linemen on the injury report throughout the week as well. Both, I think, will play, but no, they both have been missing time at practice for what it's worth. Because of Newton's breakout last week, I wanted to use that as a launching pad to a conversation on whose turn it will be this week. That's what happens with the really good teams.
Yep.
Now, that's what happens in the winning legitimate organizations. Everybody takes a turn. We've seen it when the Nats went and won their World Series. We've seen it with the Capitals, not only in their cup run, but all the years where they've been ultra-competitive. So the question I want to pose on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, and we can open up the phones at 800-636-1067 on this now. That's 800-636-1067. If last week was Johnny Newton's week to announce his presence, so to speak, it doesn't have to be a young guy having a career day, but just someone who elevates their game, someone who has their best game of the season, who this week is going to have their big game?
So I picked Daron Payne. You've heard from me here on this one. I just think he's due for it. You know, I don't think I'm getting the guy that set career highs a handful of years ago in a contract year. All right? I was wrong about that. I predicted this was the next step. This was a breakout. I saw pass rushing moves that I hadn't seen. I thought it was a product of growth. He's kind of settled back into being the nice, solid, good player that he's always been. Nothing wrong with Daron Payne. But here's a chance where you should have a feeding frenzy game. There is no better opportunity.
You felt a little bad about what I said, didn't you? Was that a little bit of it?
What do you mean?
Well, just me calling out that Newton had more quarterback hits in one game than he's had all year. Is that a little bit of this?
Not even at all. I'm going, you'll never have a better chance than this. You know what I mean? Like, you all know it. Everybody played sports. You know when you're going up against the weak pitcher and you're 0 for your last 10, you're like, well, thank God here's a dude that's on a flat 75 with no curveball. You know, like, now's my chance to get right. This is your chance. This is a bad offense, a bad offensive line, and you can go nuts in this kind of game. You could have a Brian Arakpo-type season where he had a bunch of sacks against the Raiders, none against the Cowboys, Eagles, or Giants, and we still think of it as a decent year. Here's your chance. Here's your Raiders game, Brian Arakpo style.
I'm between two minds here. Help me out.
Joe.
I want to go with one of the tailbacks. Brian Robinson, who has had big games this season, which is why I hesitate a little bit, and Austin Ekeler, who I don't think has really had his big statistical game. His best game was that Cincy half, and then he got the concussion and got knocked out of the game. But if you remember, he had a 20-plus yard touchdown. I think they threw him two passes on the first three plays. Mm-hmm. He got the first two first downs of the game. So his rushing totals this season, he just had his second-best game with 52 yards. 30 of that was on a run right before the half.
Yep.
I think he had another 30-yard run against Cleveland, and that gave him 67. But he's mostly been around 30 to 40 yards because he gets like 6-7 carries. I could see this being a 10-for-65 day for Austin Ekeler with a rushing touchdown, and he finally gets his moment in the sun. But I think I'm just going to stick with B-Rob. I think Brian Robinson runs for a buck 50. I think it's that kind of game.
Say that number one more time.
I think it goes for 145, 150. I'm going to say 20 carries for like 151, let's say, with a rushing touchdown or two for Brian Robinson. This is the worst run defense in the league. I've been harping on this all day. I think Washington gets off the bus, talked all week about running the football, trying to bully this Giants defense, and they just ground and pound them. And B-Rob leads the way in a win. I'm going to say over 150 yards for him in this game, and that it's his day. He's the star of the show. It's his big breakout game of the year.
I could see it. I mean, I was Eckler was one of my nominees on offense that I was thinking about. He's had that 97 total yard game against Cleveland just on a handful of touches. I mean, his per touch, he's been incredibly effective, obviously, over the course of this year, but there hasn't been the volume to allow one of those, like you're talking about, 150 total yards from scrimmage or whatever. So the opportunity is going to be there, I think, today. Or not today, Sunday, rather. I think they're going to run the ball really, 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 really well. And that means everyone's going to get a chance, if I had to guess. You spell Robinson or you catch him off guard. Maybe what looks like a passing down, you spread him out, Eckler from the shotgun or something like that. But, you know, he's been really effective. And any time he's touched it, he's been really good. And I think this is a great chance.
Let's hit the phones, 800-636-1067. We want to hear from you guys. Last week, Johnny Newton had his game of the year. Who's going to have their goatee this weekend? Let's go to Brian in Greenbelt on the Fan. How are you, Brian? Thanks for the ring.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Good, buddy.
I am looking for the rookie tight end.
That's in it, yeah.
He caught both of his targets and a touchdown against Chicago. Against Carolina, but nothing last week. Hoping he just kind of blows up all of a sudden in an easy win, hopefully. But also I just wanted to tag on a quick one. Johnny Newton. How about? I mean, I don't watch this. I have a daughter that used to watch it, but Jimmy Neutron. How about Johnny Neutron, baby?
Johnny
that
Neutron.
Sounds good to me.
Johnny Newton Neutron? That is the father of children.
Neutron. Johnny Neutron.
I like that better. Let's make him a cartoon character, and let's put him on thermoses and lunchboxes and make him a hero. I like it.
Johnny Neutron was a boy genius, I believe, if I've got my
Johnny
cartoon
Neutron
straight.
Saved the day. For more, let's go to Landover, Maryland. Thank you, buddy. Sinnott's a good answer, actually.
Yeah.
Because someone texted me this week. They go, is Ben Sinnott? I guess they have him in Dynasty or something. Everything is through the lens of fantasy now. But it's a buddy of mine, national football guy, and he's like, is Ben Sinnott just not good? What's going on? And I was like, no. I was like, Ben Sinnott's legit. Go back and watch him in the preseason. He is a really bowling ball of knives. You can't tackle him. They just haven't thrown him the ball. And he's like, well, why? I said, they have the best offense in the league. They don't need to throw him the ball. Ertz. As their tight end that gets the ball, they got a bunch of receivers they use. They throw the ball to backs. If Ertz gets hurt, I think Sinnott goes 5 for 50 in that first game, or 4 for 60, and catches a 28-yard, catch and run or whatever. He's shown he can do that. He's had two balls thrown to him all season. Two. They were both in the Carolina game. I think both for Mariota, actually, interestingly enough. And he caught both of them. One was a touchdown. It's just that he's not being asked to do anything.
So I keep beating this drum on him. I think it's coming. I think this is the second half of the season. He grows into the position.
But
maybe
I only
Ertz
see
wears
that
down.
If Ertz is not involved.
Yeah, I
they don't seem to really run a lot of that.
No, you're right.
12 stuff, or they run a lot of actually two and three tight ends, but they don't seem to ever be throwing the ball to both.
Out of that look, yeah. And my assertion, my theory has been that Ertz will wear down or Ertz will get injured because he's older and this is what he's done over the last couple of seasons. But we keep going, and Ertz just had his best game. You know what I mean? So, like, my prediction is looking less and less likely. Now, again, so much can happen in a football season, but my thought always was he'll come on strong in the second half of the year, and now we're about the second half of the year, and the target share hasn't been there, to your point.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. You can call us at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. That's 800-636-1067. 1067 if you want to hop in. The question for you right now, who's the guy that's going to pull a Johnny Newton this week and have their best game of the season? We'll get to your thoughts in a moment. We're at Fairfax Circle. This is a Fairfax Corner, I should say.
Fairfax Corner, yeah.
This is a fun little vibe we got going today for our Friday field trip. Got a lot of people coming out, getting ready for Commanders Giants on Sunday, and the confidence continues to grow in this football team. We'll be here until 6:30. Come say hello.